Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. Good morning. Yes. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, my sidekick here every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. We have Tim manning the phones. I love that you put on your headphones because you know I'm going to talk to you, right?
That's right.
Good morning. Good How morning. Are you?
Fantastic.
I got to tell you, I love your voice. It's so cheery on a gloomy day like today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, any problems with the internet going on here or what? You all set in there? Because I can't get the internet, but that's all right. That's
I don't know. Okay. Do you have the right, the right password?
Yeah, I do. We won't say it out loud. I do have the password.
We don't need any stalkers out in the hall in the parking lot. Oh,
I know. Everybody's getting into, like, you know, my bank accounts. No, I'm kidding. So you are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford here at WATD. I like to say we are sitting at our kitchen table. We have Tim manning the phone. So if you have any questions for myself or for Cindy or for both of us this morning, please call us at 781-837-4900. As you know, we'd love to talk real estate because that's the name of our show.
We do.
Yeah, it's a good name, don't you think? Talk Real Estate.
Hmm.
So we actually do have a guest that is coming in, and Cindy thinks maybe he got stuck in a puddle or something.
I think so.
No.
It's one of those days, right?
Yeah. You know, just a confusion on the dates. So he thought it was actually next weekend. So no problem. So Arthur Boyle is on his way from performance appraisal. Mm. And he will be here. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking to Brad Mahoney from Mahoney Law Group, and we were talking about appraisals, and Arthur called in, and I was like, hey, that would be great if you could join us. So it was sort of late notice, really.
Right,
so.
Absolutely. And it's been a rainy week, and I'm excited because a lot of my clients don't know the difference between appraised and assessed value or market value, and we're going to talk about that, so I'm really excited.
Yes, and Arthur does a great job. He's really good about bringing... He listens to the show often, and I know right now, actually, he was in a meeting with another WATD person, and he had to leave him. So, Bill Wilhelm, sorry that I just took your breakfast date away from you. But Arthur Boyle, again, from Performance Appraisal, is on his way into the studio so we can talk to you about the differences between appraisals, assessed values, and market value, which is what Cindy and I do. And one of the big questions, it's so funny because I call Arthur all the time, and I ask him the same question every single time I talk to him. And I told you I was doing an analysis this morning. And I did a CMA, which is first off, comparative market analysis. So I was there this morning looking at this home, probably the nicest raised ranch I have ever seen in 15 years of doing real estate. This house is beautiful. Nice. They did a really nice job. You know, sometimes when people put additions on houses, it's just...
Yes.
What were you thinking?
What were you thinking? Or the biggest, the garage bigger than the house?
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. And I know sometimes it's hard to get the lines to look right and everything, but these people did. And it's hard to put something that looks decent onto a raised ranch and make it flow inside. They did a great job on this. But one of the questions that came up is they are going to be putting in a new four-bedroom septic. They're actually going to be using Shane McGlone.
Oh, love him.
Isn't he great?
Oh, my God. We love a lot of people.
I know.
And we really do. Love them.
Yeah, I know.
And
that's
when
the funny
thing. To each of them, I love them the most.
Yeah. Exactly. But I really don't know another, like, septic engineer that
no.
I... Yeah, do you?
Well, I may have years ago, but no. Well, he is great.
It's his personality. Yeah. I think we're just surrounded by people who have that sort of chill type personality,
that we
you
love,
know?
And that take care of our clients.
They absolutely do. So, they had Shane over there doing, you know, the an analysis for them to do a new engineering plan because they're going to be putting in a new septic system. And the question always comes up, can I consider this room in the basement or the lower level, really? Can I consider that to be a bedroom? So everyone's just going to have to hold on and we'll get the real answer from Arthur Boyle because I ask him every time. Because every time I go to someone's house, they convince me that, you know, maybe I'm wrong and the information I was given was wrong or maybe it's changed. So we'll have Arthur talk about that.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
And some of the other things too that I want to discuss with him when he comes, and unfortunately his daughter Amanda was going to be coming too, but she isn't going to be able to make it. But you know, what is the difference one between appraised when he comes in for a bank? Some of the regulations that have changed. Mm. So in years past, the appraisal was hired by the loan officer, and that's how we got into a lot of the problems we got into with the big banks making decisions that probably weren't accurate or correct, and people got into financial problems.
Yes.
And a lot of those problems were based on even when people were doing like home equity lines and credit and equity loans, and the banks, the appraisers were coming back and they're saying, oh, well, my buddy's the loan officer and he said you need to reach $500,000. So even though your house is worth $400,000, we're going to pull some comps and confuse everybody. And then people were using that money as phantom income. Have you heard that before? Phantom income?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not recently, but back then.
Yeah,
back
so
in the day.
People would just take that money and instead of investing it back in the house, they were going on cruises and they were going on trips, buying cars.
Crazy, Ben. Crazy.
Yeah. So I, you know, here's how naive I am. When we did a home equity loan to do maybe the kitchen over or the addition or something, I never even knew that I could have taken that money and done something else with it. I just figured it said home equity in it that I had to put the money back in the house. Yeah, I didn't know that. I guess it's better.
Well, the smart thing is to put the money back in the house.
Yeah. What would you think?
Not
you would
on the
think.
Boat. Not I on know. That boat, but a cruise boat. Like, not on a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a car. Or
how's that going to increase the value of your home?
Yeah, no.
It's not.
It isn't.
No.
No. So we are going to talk about some of those things and how the regulation has changed. Mm-hmm. So all of that is all cleaned up now. And the process is different.
Yes.
And we always say to people when we're selling your home, we put your home on the market. We're a listing agent. So you just had your Hanover house. That went under agreement in what, a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally 1 minute.
Yes.
Inventory is still low. Then it's one thing selling it to a buyer. Now the buyer goes and gets his loan. Chances are from Fairway Mortgage, right?
Yeah,
we have
absolutely.
Dan Mann who's going to be on with us next week. Dan is great. He would give the appraisal to a third party company, then the appraisal will go out and he will do an appraisal on that house. He or she will do an appraisal on the house. So it's like we have to sell the house twice.
Yes.
Right? So some of the things that are going on right now is we're putting homes on the market and people are buying emotionally again.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a lot of inventory, so people see a lot of people there and people are buying over asking price. Well, the appraisal still has to appraise out. So that's something that people really have to be concerned of. So we're going to talk to Arthur about that. We're also going to talk about the different types of appraisals that are out there. So like a VA appraisal.
Yes.
Yeah. The FHA appraisals. Mm-hmm. What's, you know, required for a VA? Because I'm pretty sure that they have to have an inspection done too, right? Like, I don't know if that's part of an appraisal process or not, though, is it? Do we know?
Well, when they do the appraisal, and anyone, you know, Dan, if you're out there listening, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm a little foggy this morning. But
I'll text
like
him
every morning. Yeah, text him. But I thought like they're actually looking as well when they appraise to see if there's any bubbled or chipped paint on the outside. And, you know, they're also checking the shed in the back to mm-hmm. make sure that that's okay, where another appraiser, because it's not attached to the house, you know, may not do anything about that. So that's my recollection today.
Yeah. The FHA, the appraisal on FHA is a little more complicated than it is, because they are looking for chipping, peeling, paint. And this time of year, it's difficult because a seller can't paint it.
Well, that happened to me in December, and they had to paint it, and they didn't care that it had snowed and it was cold. They didn't care if we painted it pink on a white house. They wanted it painted, mm-hmm. which is...
So they're not looking at it from a cosmetic point of view. I think that their point is that if it's painted, it's sort of encapsulated in a sense that the water can't get in there and then cause rot and blah, 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 because they want to protect their investment.
Right.
But some of the things, I don't think that it makes much sense that in New England that you can be asking people to be out there painting it. So it's really you're painting it for that one day so the appraiser can say, yep, it's painted, and then it's going to chip off and look terrible in a month.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what happened to a property that I was on the buying side, but I felt really bad for the seller because he was, you know, an older gentleman, and it was way up high. It was, you know, in like the third story of this house, and it was bubbled. It wasn't even peeling, and he had to go up and scrape, and then he had to make sure he removed all the paint chips off the ground, which was snowy. So white paint chips on the white snow. I felt so bad.
He should have just put more snow on top of them,
right?
Maybe. Yeah, well, that would have been a terrible thing
couldn't.
To do.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that wasn't a good suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the easier way out there, but that wouldn't be fun, or that wouldn't be the good thing to do. Yeah, and with the appraisals, it's one of those times where people are definitely holding their breath because the loan officer really can't have any contact with the appraiser.
Correct.
We meet as a listing agent. We're always meeting the appraiser. Mm-hmm. Appraiser at the house, and the reason why is because we want to make sure that we're telling them about all of the updates and everything that has happened to the house. This house that I went into earlier today, it was a great house, and I got to tell you, her flair of like, if you walked in there, you would think that we had the same pillows from Pier 1, like the houses. I'm like, I could live here.
Oh.
And look at this little list. It just happens to be on my clipboard.
I love him already.
Yeah, I know. Like, being organized like this is so important when you're putting your house on the market. But this is the type of stuff that's really good for an appraiser to know, too, because then they can give you, you know, the extra points where your extra points,
absolutely.
So to speak.
Sometimes they can miss things. That's happened to me in the past where I said, did you know that there's central AC because there's this big unit out in the back, and they didn't notice, or they didn't bring their printout with them. So I want to make sure that, you know, we're getting every benefit we possibly can, whether it's $1,000 added on or $500, I don't care.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure that I can tell them all the fabulous things about the house.
And we have no problems when it comes, because sometimes what ends up happening, if what we're seeing in offers right now is home is to appraise at or above sale price. So there's a couple things I feel about that. Sometimes I think when we're having multiple offers, maybe people are saying, oh, I'm just going to give them the highest offer. We'll throw that freeze in there. So if it doesn't appraise, then at least we know that it's going to come down to that appraised price anyways. So that's why if you do have your house on your market, don't always be intrigued by the highest price.
Correct.
Be intrigued by, you know, the other contingencies.
Absolutely. Or, you know, their pre-approval. Look at who's pre-approving them.
I can't even tell you how huge that is.
It is.
That's one of the things that we had told, you know, with Fairway, with Daniel Mann and those guys over there. They do such a great job, and I haven't seen them never not come through.
Right.
And we were supposed to have a closing on one of my listings this past Friday, which was yesterday. Seems like forever ago, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, 27. Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and they were using one of the bigger banks, which I won't mention, but it might begin with a letter C or something. There's a few of them out there. And we got notice on Wednesday. We're not closing on Friday because of all the TRID, and they didn't get the CD out in time. And it looks like our guest has arrived. We're going to let him sort of take his time and his breath here. And you could have brought your breakfast date with you, Bill Wilhelm. He could have talked sports while we talked everything else. What color is he? Oh, he's
yellow. Oh, I think I stole yellow. Oh.
Yeah, There we go. Back to blue. Sorry. To all our listeners, we just had our person come in. This is Arthur Boyle.
Oh, yeah, he set a world record for Route 3 in the rain.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Arthur Boyle, please.
I actually was planning on being here a week from now.
I know.
Well, you're early.
Well, so you're early now. Now you don't have to worry about it next week. So, yeah, I know. That's okay. I should have called you yesterday and just reminded you, I guess.
Couldn't hurt. I'm getting old, so.
I know. So that voice, for those of you who don't know, you could have actually just called in, you know. We could have done this over the phone if you wanted.
We could have, but it's nicer to do it in person.
Yeah, absolutely. So that voice, as you know, is Arthur Boyle from Performance Appraisals, and his daughter, Amanda, was going to be here.
We actually can get her on the phone.
Oh, we can?
Oh,
yes.
Awesome.
Oh, okay. That will be good. So you know what I think that we will do is, Cindy and I were just sort of buying some time there. How'd you like that? We did pretty good.
You did a pretty good job, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Because I'm like, do you have anything else we can talk about? Like, he isn't here, for real. We're going to go to a break, but one thing before we go to a break, we'll go to a break, we'll get Amanda on the phone, then we can start getting into everything that we wanted to talk to you about. I just happened to sit down here today and I noticed this book sitting here. It's called The Grace Trail, and the author of this book is a good friend of mine, actually, Ann Barry Jolas, and she is wonderful. She's a life coach, and she wrote this book, and she has The Grace Trail, which goes down through Plymouth, and you pick up different stones, so every letter of the word grace stands for something else, you know, gratitude and release and all these other things. So it was nice to see this book. We have a couple of these laying around our office too. So congratulations to Ann Jolas if you want to purchase her book. Grace Trail, Find Your Footing and Move Toward the Life You Were Meant to Live. You can get that on Amazon. And I gave her a wonderful recommendation on Amazon as well because she is a wonderful, wonderful person.
Is there anything you can't get on Amazon?
No, I think you can get everything.
Right? Everything.
You can't buy a house yet.
It's like the Walmarts in Florida where you can go in and get sneakers and a fried chicken.
Yeah, I know. Everything you need all in one place. Makes it convenient, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it does.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a break so we get everybody's commercials in. When we come back, we're going to get Amanda on the phone.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Having originated more than $11 billion in 2015, Fairway has competitive rates and extensive product availability. For instance, you may even be eligible to receive a down payment assistance grant of up to 5% of your loan that you don't have to pay back. Seems too good to be true? Call the Fairway Marshfield branch at 781-536-4172 and ask for Daniel Mann to see if you qualify for this amazing program. Don't be scared about the home financing process. Let Dan show you that his way is the Fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Daniel Mann, NMLS 150772, Mass Branch License 338980.
There they go again. It's another smooth move with Gallo Moving and Storage. When it's time to move your valued possessions, don't trust just any moving company. At Gallo Moving and Storage, they understand that you've spent your entire lifetime turning your house into a home. The Gallo sales consultants will walk you through every aspect of the move. And as an authorized agent of United Van Lines, you're guaranteed to get the treatment you deserve. From packing the first box to unloading the final dish, the Gallo professionals guide you every step of the way, whether you're moving across the street or across the country. Gallo Moving and Storage is always a smooth move.
Gallo Moving and Storage, close by in Weymouth. Call Bill Balo at 1-866-697-4400. 1-866-697-4400.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. 50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We are both of Boston Connect Real Estate, located here on the South Shore. Full-time realtors and taking care of business. The office is growing. We Arthur, I don't know if I even told you, but we're opening the Bridgewater office.
I did hear that.
Yeah. So the Bridgewater office is going to be open. We were hoping for April Fool's Day, but I guess the joke was on me because the copier didn't make it and neither did the chairs. So... So next Friday will sort of be our first opening day for the agents, and then we're going to have a big grand opening, so I'll let you know when that is. We were going to do it in a couple of weeks, but we'll definitely give you notice. So.
Yeah, you know you got to give me an extra week's notice.
Yes, absolutely. So the voice that you hear is Arthur Boyle from Performance Appraisal. We also have his daughter, Amanda Boyle Gracioso, on the phone. We also have Dan Mann on the phone, and Daniel Mann is from Fairway Mortgage. We're going to check in with Dan real quick because I know that he has Elle in the background, too. He's babysitting. Not babysitting, it's your baby. Right. So you have Elle today. Yep. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. And you are our sponsor of the show, so I'm really happy to have you sponsoring us. Boston Connect Real Estate is lucky to have you on our team.
I'm happy to be here.
We're talking about appraisals today, and just real quick, I'm just curious how, from your point of view, on the loan aspect of it, you have no relation with the appraisers anymore. We'll have to make sure that Performance Appraisal is put on your list or whoever's list that you use, but have you been seeing appraisals coming in low?
No. Sometimes, just because recently, I'm sure you've seen it, the explosion of values.
Yeah.
It's almost like the comps haven't caught up yet to the bids that are going in, because there's so few properties that everyone's just going in these bidding wars. So I feel like the appraiser doesn't have the comps yet to kind of match these offers. I don't know. Have you seen that?
Yeah. What about you, Arthur?
Yeah, we've seen, I call it emotion doesn't equal value. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody seeing a house listed at $399 and paying $450 for it, you know, it's an illogical act, in my opinion, that, you know, to pay 3 or 4% more than the asking price is not unusual, but to spend 10% over the asking price is almost crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what we're seeing now. So there's no comps, and people are just, they're getting almost, I don't want to use the word sick of offering things, because they're getting, you know, outbid. So they just kind of say, oh, this is enough, and I'm just going to bid way more than I ever would. Mm-hmm. And they do that. And then I've even had people just almost stop looking because they're just so frustrated that they can't get anything because there's not that much inventory.
Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see more and more inventory. I think Cindy and I were actually mentioning that, and we've been out there doing a lot of, you know, analysis and CMAs and things like that. So, you know, we will definitely be seeing it. But the nervous part is for people to put their house on the market is well, where the heck am I going to go?
Yeah, that's the big thing.
It's almost like we're at a standstill.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't hit both sides of the home run. You can't sell high and buy low.
Exactly.
You know, that's the rare occasion, or unless you're relocating to North Carolina or Florida or something.
Well, that sounds good, though. Mm. That sounds like a plan.
Well, on a rainy day, it does. But I'll take New England.
I have people going to probably start, I'd say, putting their houses on the market just because it's, you know, if you've had your house for a long time, you're going to have a lot of equity to put in onto the next house.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what about your what you're seeing? And I'm going to talk to Arthur about this too. Any situations where you've come across recently where maybe it's an FHA loan where the paling, chipping paint and railings. And I went by a house the other day and I saw a makeshift railing and I go, oh, looks like that buyer's FHA.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's just the main thing with them. I mean, values seem the same. It's just, it's all, if there's a little kind of imperfections that the FHA has a problem with. But, you know, overall, if it's a means to an end, you know, if you need to get into a house with FHA, that's, you know, that's a starting point.
Yeah, that's good. That's what makes you so good at what you do, Daniel Mann, because you are just calm, cool, and collective the whole all the time. So I do thank you for calling in last minute. I know you have Elle there. We also have to get to some other business here with the appraiser. But any other thoughts or any suggestions you want to tell our listeners?
No, I mean, just, you know, don't be afraid to get out there and just start looking. You know, it's gonna happen for you, even though, you know, don't get frustrated. Like I said earlier, people are getting frustrated, but you shouldn't. It's going to happen for you. If it's meant to be, it'll be meant to be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, we'll have a great day. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks,
you
Dan.
Too. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
And we also have Amanda on the phone. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, Amanda, I blame your dad, not you. Like, I should definitely make you the point of contact, don't you think?
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, can
surprise.
Can we call you and talk to Sharon? I'm like, sure. Oh, I would talk to Sharon.
Surprise, you're on the radio this morning.
Your neighbor's one street over, too, so you can catch each other.
You could have thrown a rock at me, Dad, really.
Well, you know what, Amanda? You could have came over last night. We could have maybe had a glass of wine and, you know, talked about what the show was going to be today.
Well, we'll have to do that for next week.
Yes, we can absolutely do that. But I'll be honest, you know what I was doing last night at 9:45?
No, what?
Picking up a check in Duxbury because a purchase and sales agreement had to be signed by last night.
Oh,
so
my
by
goodness.
Midnight last night, a P&S had to be signed. And
I don't think people in general have any idea what brokers actually do.
I
don't know. I don't think my clients knew, and it was funny because I felt bad for the other agent. She's a very, very good agent. I adore her. She's with another company, but there was at one point I was like one excuse after another from her clients, and I understand things happen, but I had to unleash Dorchester a little bit. Like, let her know, like, I'm a really, really nice person, but, like, seriously, why am I leaving Bertucci's? I've been dying for this pizza all week long. Why am I leaving to drive to Duxbury right now to pick up this check? So anyways, the things we got to do, we just do them. So Amanda, we're going to be talking about appraisals because that's your thing. And I know that you work closely with your dad, Arthur, here.
I do.
And you guys have been pretty busy.
We have been, yes. And now that it's springtime, everybody's trying to pack up and relocate. So we're starting to pick up a little bit.
Well, it's so funny because one of the appraisals that I saw you at, we never know who's going to show up.
No.
So it's always nice, like, when we see somebody that we recognize. But yeah, I was actually on that same street this morning of one of the last ones I saw you at this week. But I remember it was like, what, 3 feet of snow one other time I saw her.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
She had, like, you know, those fishing, you know, when people go fly fishing. Like, I was like, that's what she needed. There was so much snow that year. I noticed
that was the one I contemplated jumping out the second story window, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I was like, why did Arthur send you to this one? I wonder why.
Well, it was close by, too, so it was a short ride home to change the pants and everything. So,
So why
youth
don't you...
overcomes the obstacles really as well. So.
I know. And also your son, we should give him a little shout-out, too, because, I mean, what would life be without him, right? The comedian in the world here.
He's newly engaged now, too.
How exciting.
You might want to throw Jen in there just so she doesn't feel bad, middle child syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and we'll say hello to Jen, too.
Hi, Jen!
why don't you take the reins a little bit here? Because, I mean, you know, a lot of people know your dad and everything, but I want to give you a little bit of the shining light this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about Performance Appraisal, a little bit about the company and what you guys do from an appraisal standpoint?
Oh, my goodness. Performance started, I was probably a teenager back in Malden.
You were a teenager. You were 18.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, 20 years ago. I started out, Dad was doing, you know, appraisals for a bigger appraisal company, and I started there doing the photocopies back when photos were 35-millimeter cameras. You had to take them to a one-hour photo if you wanted that report in the next day. And I was a photocopy girl. Mm-hmm. I made sure all the reports were, you know, settled and straight and in the right order and filed, and then it came up to, like, I could do this. I went through the EMT school, and I probably did every job you could think of and just said, hey, I can check out people's houses and, and, you know, like, it takes a while to actually know how to actually value a home, but it was cool as, you know, as a 20-something, like, oh, I get to drive around all day. I get to walk into somebody's house and take photos and
make your own hours almost.
Absolutely. I'm in my car by myself. I can listen to the radio.
Deal with anybody.
Absolutely. Well, no, you still do because you get those phone calls like, oh, you know, at that appointment? Are you, you know, where's this report? Are they going to have it by Friday? Or, but
what type of training and everything do you have to go through in order to be, you know, like certified? Like, are you, do you have to have a special certification to do VA loans in FHA?
You do, actually. Yes, Arthur can tell you all about the VA and the FHA because I'm not certified for those.
Okay.
It takes a lot. But to actually get certified as an appraiser, when I got my trainee's license, you didn't need anything. You just said, here's your trainee's license. And I think it was, what, 2,000 hours under a supervisor? So, you know, I'd have to go out with them for 2,000 hours and then send
about
in.
A two-year process.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not good with math, but that seems like a lot.
And now you actually have to have an associate's degree.
Oh, really?
From college to actually get...
Into the field.
The business. Mm-hmm. So they're making it tough on a lot of. I mean, if I had tried now, I would never. I didn't make it all the way through college. So. Mm-hmm.
Not to worry about that, my dear, because I have an associate's degree. That's what I got. And people have told me that I have to sort of get over the fact that I don't have that bachelor's, that it doesn't really mean much. And that I think I always say, what I could have been, you know what I mean?
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So Arthur,
said college wasn't my thing. And then I found appraisals and I'm like, oh gosh, I could.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're doing a really good job.
I could do this forever.
And then what about Arthur, for the part with the FHA and the VA? What are the differences there? And how difficult would it be for Amanda to, I mean, at some point that should be the next step for her too, right? To get those?
Yeah, it would be a logical step. She's got two little ones now that take priority. And
they should.
That's as it should be, is right. But you have a series of courses you have to take and... you have to meet certain standards, and you have to almost be a home inspector to do FHA now. I mean, they've made it so difficult that we're actually kind of weaning off of several banks that do just FHA because they've made it so difficult that it's not profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to look at it from the appraiser standpoint. If I have to go out there three times and you only want to pay for it twice, you know, who's paying the third trip?
And that has a lot to do, I bet, with the peeling, chipping, paint type thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cindy
mentioned that.
Yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I had to go back out and take photos of the paint. And it was there.
Yeah, we had one that was held up. I had one in Pembroke last year, actually, and it was nothing came. My client replaced the oil tank just because it came up in inspection that it wasn't, you know, in good condition. And it made sense. She's like, well, I'm still living here. Like, I certainly don't want to have an oil spill. So she replaced that. And it was mentioned somewhere along the line, and the appraiser heard about it. Like, you know, he saw the oil tank, and maybe it was something like, oh, well, that's being replaced. Not because it had to, just because the seller felt like it was the best thing to do, and they had to come back to do a reappraisal. But we said, well, can we just send you a picture? And they said, sure, just send us a picture. So that's what we did. And then it came back, oh no, we can't accept your picture because you could have taken a picture of somebody else's oil tank.
That's right.
And I'm like, then why don't you get out here? Seriously. There he just goes to the Dorchester again. With I want to talk a little bit too about the differences between what you do as an appraisal, and I always say it's a bank appraisal, but it's really just it's an appraisal versus an assessment. What is the difference between that?
Well, the difference in the assessment and the appraisal is the assessment is done on a mass appraisal basis. It's done citywide or townwide using neighborhoods as general reference points. And it's also based on data sales that are 18 months to 24 months old. So when you're getting appraisals today, we noted one, Amanda had done one in Brockton the other day, and she said, you know, geez, it's assessed for 172. It's selling for 218. She said, that's a big disparity. She says, I'm wondering if I missed something. And we went back through and she hadn't missed anything. It just was, you know, sales haven't caught up with assessments yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, or vice versa. And, you know, and that always happens when the market gets hot. You know, you're generally selling over the assessed value. When it cools off and you get, you know, like 2007, people were coming in for abatements all over the place in cities and towns saying, I can't get $355 for my house. It's only worth $295.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's based on sales data that goes back 18 months. So, you know, it's something you can't blame your assessor for certain. And I wish Libby Bates were around because she does this so well.
You know, it's so funny because I texted Trish Flynn, our office manager, and that's her aunt. And I said, can you please get Libby on the phone this morning? So I don't know if she ever was able to reach out to Libby because she really is knowledgeable about that stuff.
Yeah, she makes a great explanation for the mass appraisal basis that the values are based upon.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I just sent Trish a text earlier, too, so maybe we can get Libby on there as well. So from you, an appraisal, what are you looking at? Because I do a slide. I'm doing an analysis, actually, after the show today, and I have a slide that basically says appraisers are looking, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you're looking at the last 6 months of data, true or false?
Well, the last 6 months to 12 months.
Okay, so you do go back a little bit further, okay.
Is that generally because if you go back further than 6 months, is that because you just can't find something, or is that just standard?
Well, something, you know, sometimes you can't find, you know, something that's truly comparable, and in the other case, you don't want to miss a sale that's right on the street, as an example.
Right.
Okay.
Because,
okay.
You know, the best indicator of value is something that's, you know, under the principle of substitution is just, you know, it's right there, it's right next door, right across the street.
I love that principle of substitution. You said that to me one other time, and I wrote it down somewhere else, too.
That was
too.
On the broker test.
Well, Cindy like just got her broker's license.
In my mind, like embedded in my brain.
Yeah. So you will. So generally, do you try to stay within 6 months? I mean, because that would be the best analysis, right?
Yeah, you try to get the shortest window of time that you can, but location plays a big role, and as Amanda will tell you, and tell me if you disagree, Amanda, but the condition plays a big role. If you've got a 1960s kitchen and you've got, you know, shag rugs and things like that, you're not going to sell for the amount of money that the guy next door did that just did, you know, Corian countertops.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right, yes.
So if you're on the market right now, if you have your house sold and you are the one that has, you know, the granite and the updates and everything else, the guy next door has similar to that, but he sold 11 months before. You can use that as a comparable.
Right, and you just make an adjustment for either for time or for condition or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. But you do find, too, and that's another reason to go back 12 months or even more in some cases, is that the owner of the home who always follows you around and says, you know, my house is just like the one up the street that sold for $295, except they have a pool, a two-car garage, and an indoor sauna bath. You know? You say, geez, that's similar.
Yeah. Arthur, is there a set price for different things? Like if you have to make an adjustment, say it's the same house but there's one additional bedroom or an additional half bath or that the kitchen has been remodeled, is there a set value that you and Amanda use? Or
no, we kind of draw it from the market, because a half bath on a Campanelli ranch in Brockton is probably worth, what would you say, Amanda, $3,000, give or take?
Yeah, about 25.
Yeah, and you know, if you go to a half bath in a house in Duxbury and Powder Point, that's probably worth $10,000 or $12,000 in terms of contributing to value. So, you know, it really depends on where it is and what it is.
So how do you, I mean, do you just have it in your head, or is there a list where you could say that?
No, you try to match pairs as closely as possible to see what, you know, you've got two raised ranches, one with 6 rooms, 3 bedrooms, a bath and a half, one with 6 rooms, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. What's the difference in price? What's the contributory change in the price? And it'll usually be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, something like that. And people say you can't replace a bathroom for $6,000, which is true. But it's like any other home repair. You rarely get back what you put in, unless it's a flip where you got it in such horrendous condition that you've you know, made great strides just by painting the place.
And that's important. A lot of people think, well, I did my kitchen over 8 years ago and it cost me X amount of dollars, and that's what I want. And it's, first of all, it's depreciated over those 8 years.
Yeah.
But you're still not going to get, generally, it's nice that you did it, and the person buying your home is going to reap the benefits of you maybe spending quite a bit of money to do a remodel, right? Correct?
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's
like
a
woman in with the imported Italian tiles that time. She spent, she imported them straight from Italy. You know, I can picture the little old Italian man in the grape field, like, molding these tiles with his hands. And she said, you know, it cost me $20,000 for them and then $5,000 to ship them, so it's $25,000. I'm like, no, it's ceramic tile.
Yeah, you can go to Blue Tile down in Rockland, and I can get something that looks like it. Go to Lowe's.
You know, it's nice that you got them straight from Italy, but you could have gone to Home Depot and gotten something similar for, $2 a square foot. Right.
And that's a really good point, Amanda, because when people are doing renovations on their home, I always tell them, you know, like when we did our kitchen renovation, I did shaker style, I did cherry, I did very sort of traditional, you know, shaker style. I mean, if the Pilgrims had them, the shaker, you know, then they're not going out of, you know, they're not going out of style anytime soon. So I always tell people to just sort of stay there. But, you know, there will be people that will say, well, I have a custom kitchen. And it's like, yeah, but it's custom to you.
Right.
Doesn't mean that everybody else is going to really love it. And that's why I tell people just sort of stay. And I don't think that there is a need to have, you know, my kitchen is a very nice kitchen and it was pretty, you know, reasonable to pay more than that. You're not going to get that back.
Not at all.
It's more marketing, I think. And your pictures look really
nice. Well, I'll give you, for instance, too, in Braintree, we had done one, and it's good to have Amanda around to bounce things off because sometimes you're driving yourself crazy at 7 or 8 o'clock at night writing a report.
But
I was doing a CMA last night at 10:30. I mean, 11 o'clock.
Wow. Well, the point I was going to make is that in Braintree, I went to a property that was built entirely handicap accessible, and that meant lower cabinets, you know, a big space under the sink and that kind of thing. And the marketing was a nightmare for the broker because you've only got a certain amount of people you can, you know, you can navigate through before you run out of people who are going to, you know, have an interest in the house. And so we did it with the bank said, well, what about a cost to cure, a cost to correct the deficiencies? And I said, they're really not deficiencies. They're just, you know, they're
different.
They're different. They're ideal for, you know, a handicapped individual who's in a power, you know, wheelchair. But, you know, it doesn't appeal to everybody because the cabinets are down much lower and that kind of thing.
And the light switches and everything, because there was, I remember I showed a condo in Marshfield. 36-inch
wide doors and that kind of thing. I mean, it's an unusual situation to be in, but the bank wanted an estimate. So we had to get contractors, and, you know, it turned into a fiasco in terms of cost because, you know, you had to pay professionals to come in and do their thing as well. Because I'm not somebody who can judge. I can give you a rough number on a kitchen, but, you know, when it comes to specializing in, you know, a handicap ramp and handicap access and that kind of thing, you know, I said to the broker, good luck.
Yeah. gave her a little bottle of holy water before you left. There you go. That's the best I can do for you today. What about bedrooms in, like, garage bays? That's one I always hear. Like, is it like $15,000, $20,000, like a bay for a garage? Or
it depends, again, on where it is. You know, a garage on Beacon Hill is worth $275,000. And a garage in Brockton and, you know, in Brookfield on a Campanelli ranch is maybe worth three or four.
Okay. So what about, like, South Shore, like right where we are, like Marshfield, Pembroke, Scituate, this area? What would you consider?
Probably between 6 and 12 per bay, again, depending on where it is.
Does it matter if the inside is finished and heated and has central vac and all of that? Just asking.
The garage. The garage. These are all the things that Cindy has in her house.
Just wondering if that adds any value. It helps me out immensely. But
it's not something people are going to pay extra for, generally, unless you get somebody who's in love with their love with their antique car or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the guy that wants the lift in the garage and, you know, the man town. That would, you know, somebody coming in looking for a man town is going to love that, whereas, you know, just a regular family is going to be like, oh, yeah, great. You know, it's heated. Woohoo. And, you know, it's wintertime, we'll be warm.
Now, what about bedrooms? And I know it's going to be the same answer, and I don't mean to ask you the same question over and over again, so I understand if it's in Brockton.
Different people listening.
Yeah, somebody just tuned in and didn't hear what you said about the garages or the bathrooms. But what about, you know, you have the house that's, let's just say it's a four-bedroom colonial and it has, you know, 2,600 square feet of space. Then you have a three-bedroom colonial that has 2,600 square feet of space. It's the same gross living area, but the rooms are bigger. In one, like, you know, you have a three-bedroom, the rooms are bigger, or you have a four-bedroom and the bedrooms are smaller. Does it really matter if it's three or four bedrooms at that point?
It does to some degree in some markets, because you've got to try to match pairs again to try to see what the fourth bedroom is worth, or if it even has a recognized value, or if it's just based on the gross living area.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll vary. We notice it more often is on a two-bedroom, or, God forbid, a one-bedroom.
Yeah, I just saw a one-bedroom. I'm using that as a comp today in Duxbury, one-bedroom.
We have one over in Hummerock that is just a refinance, but it's a one-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a functional problem to begin with, because who are you going to sell it to?
Yeah, one person. Well, a couple maybe. What? A couple that likes each other and they share a room. Yeah, and that's one thing that I think about when we're working as buyer's agents. I mean, when we're looking at things like this, it's like, well, what about resale value?
I'm always thinking that. Even if you think it's your forever home, I'm always trying to think, can they sell this? Because you know they're going to call me.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure I can sell it.
In condos. Now, Amanda did a Brockton condo, last week, a two-bedroom. Mm-hmm. That most of the comps were one bedrooms that were in the complex, and it just was an oddity that this was a two bedroom. There was, what was it, 24 units, Amanda, and four were two bedrooms and 20 were one bedrooms.
Yeah, it was the end unit on certain buildings, and there's one building on each side of the complex that has one extra unit, and it just happens to be this one.
So
every other unit is exactly the same except for these four.
We got lucky. One sale was in the complex, so that you had something to base it on.
Yeah.
And then you just went searching down Oak Street, I think.
I went down every condo in Oak Street, and you know, kind of pulling up the MLS on your phone app, which I think you need to get, and you girls can probably con him into getting a new phone.
Oh yeah, but I'm looking at this brick of a thing sitting on the counter here, with next to his keys. Is that your phone?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You need to get an iPhone there.
Get one of those little typewriter things.
It's a typewriter. Oh, look at, he's just like so fancy.
Do you see that?
Yeah. This Tim's like, wow, what is that? Smithsonian, right, yeah. Called. They want it downstairs, actually, at WATD, and with all the other
antiques.
Yeah,
put it in the front hall with the old radios.
Yeah. With the bedrooms. Okay, Amanda, I'm going to go to you, because I ask your father this question so many times, but it came up again for me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are going to be, honest to gosh, this is going to be a tough house for me to do an analysis on, because it is a raised ranch. So I feel as if I have to use raised ranch, right? Because isn't that for you? You're going to be using style, right?
Right.
I mean, with the raised ranch, well, I'll look at, you know, regular ranches, the front to back splits, and so, maybe even a smaller cape, just because the living area is similar.
Yeah,
and the bedroom count and everything. So, I mean, even though it's, you know, half of the house is on a second floor, it's still, you know, 1,200 square feet. It's still the same amount of room. It's just spread out a little bit.
And that's how I feel about this house. When I went there this morning, I thought, my gosh, it's beautiful. It really is the best raised ranch I've ever seen. And I know I'm going to have a difficult time appraising it. I mean, doing an evaluation on it because of that, and just how it's just completely different. When you're in it, you feel like you're actually in a colonial style house, like on that first floor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But then the bedrooms are there too, and they did a great job with just the transition of rooms. They have a master bedroom and all these other things. Septic system has failed, unfortunately, so they will be putting in a new septic system. I think that's great. That's one question for you, is with the Title V, do you give extra credit if it's brand new? And then my second question is, with the raised, there, it's a four-bedroom septic, so they're going to stay with a four-bedroom septic. There's three bedrooms upstairs, and then there's a room downstairs that she's using as sort of like a sewing room. But the question is, can I consider this a bedroom? Now I'm in a raised ranch, so I just want you to answer that question, because I get asked every single time, and I ask your father about, what, five times a year?
Right.
Extra room is in the basement, finished basement?
Yeah.
And no, I wouldn't consider it a basement. It's below grade.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, it doesn't count towards the actual living area of the entire house. It's still counted as finished area, but it's valued differently, where it's below the grade of the house.
Jeez, did I train her well or what?
I know. So. It's like exactly what you tell me five times a year. So what is the difference of the evaluation? So that room, I can't call it a bedroom, but I can say...
You can call it a bedroom.
You can call it whatever you want.
You can call the kitchen a bedroom by putting a bed in it, but it doesn't make it a bedroom.
Yeah.
It's still a kitchen.
Okay. So they can call it. So I can say that this is they have a four-bedroom septic. I can say it's a four-bedroom house. But when you go there to appraise it, what are you going to say to me?
We're
going to
call it a three-bedroom.
It'll be a three-bedroom, because the three... bedrooms are above the grade. The fourth bedroom.
And you've
got to
be careful in the analysis too, because just because they're using it as a bedroom doesn't mean it's legally recognized as one, and that legally being the state code, mm-hmm. the building code. You've got to have, I think, less than 42 inches to climb up. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this off the top of my head, so it might be 44 inches, but I think it's 42. And you've got to have 5 square feet or 5.5 square feet or something like that of window space. And then you've got to have a well area to go out to escape in a fire to get out the mm-hmm. get out the escape
it's
windows.
It's a bonus room.
It's a yeah. Well, and then Amanda just additional said something office. About a closet, but I know Arthur. I think in the past you've told me I need 70 square feet of space, a window, and a door. It doesn't have to have a closet.
You don't have to have the closet.
Right. That's what I was told like 3 years ago, I think. Okay. So I'm going with that. I hope it's right still.
Yeah.
But we get the questions too of the teeny tiny little extra bedroom with the teeny tiny little closet. It's less than the 70 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has the window, it still has the closet, and you can fit a bed in it. So it's kind of one of those, is there enough room
for it to
be a bedroom?
You call it a den.
Yep, it's a den.
Well, and this is my advice on these things is I always look at things from a legal perspective is because, you know, it always comes up with the raised ranches every single time. So when you come in and appraise it, the buyer's going to say, well, the appraiser said from the bank that this is only considered a 3-bedroom because it's above, you know, the bedrooms are above grade. I just say, you know what, people can envision what it's going to be. So long as the septic system, especially in Pembroke, we're all Title V, right? So mm-hmm. we're all septic systems there.
Yeah.
That so long as your, you know, you can, your capacity of your septic system can hold 4 bedrooms, you can say, we have a 4-bedroom septic with a 3-bedroom. And I generally go by whatever, like, the town has it as assessed, you know what I mean? So in their public record. So
yeah, as long as you disclose what you're counting as bedrooms and as long as you disclose that you've got a system that supports that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you can basically, you know, use a little, you know, broker's leeway
mm-hmm.
because you're not selling the loan to the bank. You're selling the house to the prospective buyer
mm-hmm.
where we have to be a little more careful in terms of what we call something because, you know, the investor is buying the loan based on what they think they're getting.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that come up with you as you're walking through a house with people that's the biggest disappointment when you say, well, it doesn't matter? Like the walkout basements, do you hear that all the time too?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you explain that sort of the grade thing of that with people?
Well, that's the raised ranch example. You've got 3/4 of a story up out of the ground, but when you enter the front door, you're several steps up to the living level.
Mm-hmm.
And that generally includes the kitchen and 2 or 3 bedrooms and a bath or bath and a half or 2 or whatever, and a living room, dining room. But the finished area in the basement where you can walk out, quote unquote, from the back door and be at ground level, people think that you should count that as above grade.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically anything that's below the kitchen level is considered below grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to make it so you're always comparing apples and apples.
Okay. So is it anything below the kitchen grade or is it like the front door? So like if I walk in the front door, because sometimes there are houses, right? I mean, I haven't seen one anywhere really recently where the kitchen could potentially be lower, no?
I happened to show one of those last week that it was a split level, but the kitchen was what I would... It wasn't the basement, but you stepped down to the kitchen and up to the bedrooms. It was in Pembroke.
Oh, really?
Well, Charlestown gets those a lot, the upside, the flipped around.
Who does?
Charlestown.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And a lot of times in Charlestown, you'll go in, and like the raised ranch situation, you'll walk in from the street level and go down 3 steps, and there's the kitchen and the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Up a few more steps, there's the, you know, the living room, dining room, maybe a bedroom and a bathroom, and then up another level. So that... Mm-hmm. It's kind of a different situation where
those are the single-family attached homes, the row houses, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't even believe what time it is right now. I can't believe that clock is actually right. So let me just ask you a couple more questions real quick. Last week, I think it was, or the week before, somebody had asked me the question, landscaping and things like that, landscaping and pools. Are you looking at that at all for when you're doing your appraisal for the banks?
The imported cherry blossom tree from Japan in the yard, it's a cherry tree. It's, you know, you can spend as much as you want on your, you know, on your plants, on your flowers. It's still landscaped. Mm-hmm. So if we came to a house that, you know, it's all sand, we, you know, at situation where, yeah, you may want to do a cost to cure on that. You know, it'll cost X amount for a landscaper to come in and just do the norm, the mm-hmm. bushes in the front, the grass, you know, just get the area graded.
Mm-hmm. You're basically not going to get any money back for, you know, extensive landscaping. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in an area, and you know, take Hanover as an example. Mm-hmm. In the subdivisions, most of the houses, or many of the houses, have the irrigation systems.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to pay more for that necessarily, or they're not going to base their decision mm-hmm. on the fact that it's got an irrigation system.
Or the coit, the fish pond in the back, and, you yeah. know, those things, they're just extra. They're not.
Those are so hard for us to sort of explain to sellers, too. It's because, hard. Especially for me, I don't have a green thumb. I mean, we just didn't have yeah, much no, greenery do on Dorchester Ave. You know what I mean? So it's just how.
Use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know.
Yeah, I'm a kid from Malden. We had, you know, we had the bushes out front and, you know, the trees outside. That was
yeah.
the landscaping.
So when people, and people really love, you know, their koi ponds and these, yes. you know, these wonderful little areas. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's great for marketing your home. And like, you know, you can use that as part of the story for me to like enhance it in marketing and advertising. That's what I do. But I think when it comes to value, is it really there? No, I think it's great. You know, I think someone's going to fall in love with your house and they're probably going to pay on the top side of the range mm-hmm. based yeah. on these things. But I don't think you're going to get, like you said, you know, the Japanese maple that yeah. just got brought in. So, all right, guys, I can't believe we only have 2 minutes left. So, Amanda, before we go any further, if we have some time for you to just give us how people can get in touch with you in performance appraisal, how would they do that?
Usually the banks get in touch with us because they're the ones that need us. But yep.
People do personal ones too, though, right? I mean, people do personal appraisals.
Yeah, if you know, you just want to like, oh, hey, what's my house worth? You can call us anytime, 781-293-6900, or you can email Arthur at boyle6900@aol.com, and we'll help you as much as we can.
Perfect, because sometimes I do give that advice. I give out, you know, your phone number a lot to people where I do
it.
Suggest. Yeah, well, and there are some people that are, you know, buying houses on their own and FSBOs and stuff like that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I think that they should do that. We only have 1 minute left. Amanda, thank you so much. We're going to have to get you back in studio. We'll catch up for that glass of wine one time, too,
absolutely.
So we can talk about
anytime.
Those things.
Text me instead of him next time.
I will, absolutely. Cindy, how can people get in touch with us if they wanted to get an evaluation on their home for market?
781-826-8000.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody. BostonConnect.com. You can find our new website pretty soon, BostonConnectRealEstate.com, to get a sneak peek at that. And a lot of new sneak peeks of real estate coming on the market. Give us a call, 781-826-8000. Have a great weekend.
The South Shore's first choice for live TV.